Hello everyone, how you doing today? God has a word for us today. We're going to be coming out of 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. It reads, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the spirit of truth to reveal all truth to us today. We thank you, Father God, that our eyes and our hearts and our ears may be open to receive your truth today. Let us not be deceived. Let us not misunderstand. In the name of Jesus, we pray. So today, I want to talk about the age of deception. The age of deception. So, if you know this story, Samuel, his mom name was Hannah, and Hannah was one of the many women in scripture that God specifically shut up her womb because he had a special seed that he was going to bring through her. And of course, as humans, they didn't understand that God was going to use them in that way. And so they dealt with the shame and the rejection that came with the community and with their husband for not being able to have children. But to make a long story short, God had specially designated the child Samuel for his mom, Hannah, at a certain season. And I just want to say this for anyone that's out there, any sister that's out there and you having problems having a child, read all of the different stories of sisters and scriptures that were not able to bear seed, but God's hand was upon them and they did in his season. So before you get too broke down and discouraged and depressed about that, seek the Lord about his timing, because there's some people out there, he uses their womb for a specific reason, for a specific purpose, and you may be one of them. Anyway, she was able to have seed after coming to the temple and meeting the high priest Eli. He gave her the word of the Lord that she would, of course, have a child, and that child ended up being Samuel. And so in honor of what God did for her, especially later on in her life, she presented Samuel back to God in the form of bringing him to the temple and dedicated him for temple service. Okay. Now, so this is the backdrop. So during this time, there was a temple. And this is important. There was a temple in her day. There was a high priest and priesthood in her day. The full sacrifices was going forth. And she was able to bring her child to the high priest Samuel. So they're now raising, the high priest Eli. So now they are raising Samuel, her miracle child, in God's house. Okay. But I want you to see something, because all of that sounds great. And it's a picture of us today. We have our titles, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, bishops, elders, things of that nature. Just like in Hannah's day, we have our church, we have our leadership, we have our religious titles, priesthood, if you would, and everything seems to be okay. Eli even gave her, he was gifted. He gave her the word of the Lord that she would have a son. So on the surface, everything seemed well. But I want you to see something. Scripture we just read, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now, on the surface, reading the King James Version, when we read, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, it makes you think that the word of God was, you know, being honored. They were looking forward to it. It was important. But that's not what the word precious means. If you look up precious in the Hebrew, it literally means rare. And so if we dig a little deeper, in actuality, during this season, the word of the Lord was rare. Even though there was a high priest, even though there was a temple, even though there was a full-fledged priesthood, even though the people were going through the religious activity of bringing sacrifices, everything on the surface seemed well. But the word, and they had the word of God. Okay. They had the Old Testament Torah. Okay. And it was the priest's job, depending on what city, that certain the Levites had their own particular cities, depending on where what city they were in. They actually instructed the people in the things of God. They had oversight and the participation of giving of the sacrifices. So it was a lot like today. Everything was going well. But I want you to hear something. We are in an age of deception. And this text is going to bring out what I'm trying to say. With everything looking good and all the religious titles and everybody in their place, something strange was going on because the actual word of God was rare in those days. And look, the verse ends by saying there was no open vision. Okay, so not only the actual insight and revelation of his written word was rare, but God was not even speaking to people by visions, because he speaks to us in different ways. And so one of the ways he, especially in the Old Testament, that he communicated with people were by open vision or dreams. And it states here that there was no, open visions at the time. So what am I trying to say? History repeats itself. We are in that age where religion, the form of godliness, the external fixtures are in place. There are apostles on every corner. There are prophets everywhere. Churches on every corner in America. See, we got big time names and famous people and bishops everywhere. But I hear me by the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, we are in the days as it was in 1 Samuel chapter 3, that the word of the Lord is actually rare. What am I trying to say? I know there are many mega churches and huge ministries, but the word is rare. I know they are preaching online, on social media, TV, radio, podcast, but the word of the Lord is still rare. I know there are many famous names and personalities and international speakers, but hear me, the word of the Lord is rare. I know you love your church and the services, but I'm telling you, we are in a season, we are in a generation that the word of the Lord is rare. It's precious. Because quantity does not always equate to quality. In this story, if we look deeper into the text, we're going to find something, and it has all to do with what's going on today. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. Now the sons of Eli, remember Eli was the high priest. He's the head guy of the church in the Old Testament. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Let me stop there. If you do your research and look up in the Old Testament, sons of Belial, it was a title given to the worst of the worst. It was a title given to basically people who had no conscience, who practiced not just idolatry, but they were into a lot of demonic activity. They were debased. But I want you to do your own research on the sons of Belial. And many times they were usually connected to the tribe of Benjamin, but we find them in the Levitical tribe as priests in the house of God, which is very important to what we're talking about today. Okay, so sons of Belial were the worst of the worst, evil, degenerate, debased men. They would practice anything from homosexuality to sorcery, self-centeredness, greed. They had no conscience. Now look at this. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Hear me. These guys were pastors, if you would, in the church. Eli would be like a bishop. They were pastors in the church. Verse 13. And the priest's customs with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with the flesh hook of three teeth in his hand. And he struck it into a pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came to them. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as your soul desires, then he would answer, nay, but you will give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. We are living in that generation where our leaders abhor the offering of the Lord. They are doing what they want with God's offering. Did you hear me? We read in verse 16 that the priest was telling the people, even when the people said, no, we can't do that. He said, no, or you're going to give it to us or we will take it by force. How do so-called men of God take offerings by force today? Because offerings was not necessarily money back in those days. It was your actual sacrifice, the vegetation. But the most important was the blood sacrifice, the flesh that you brought. And they're like, no, we're going to take it by force. How do they take God's offering by force today? By intimidation. Most of the time going to Malachi 3 and using fear and intimidation, they always want to bring up being cursed with a curse. God is not going to rebuke the devourer. Will you rob God? See, that's intimidation. Because Paul specifically said not to give out a grudginess, because God loves a cheerful giver. How can you give cheerfully if you're giving out of fear? How can you give cheerfully if you're being reminded of a curse? And for the record, how can we be cursed when Jesus have already become a curse for us? We got to get this straight. You cannot allow yourself to sit up under leaders that would teach a message of grace only to end it when it's time to give by putting you right back under a curse if you don't give a dime out your dollar. Either you are blessed or you are cursed. You can't be both. Okay? Either he became a curse for us that we might be blessed, or he did not. And me giving that dime out of the dollar cannot negate what he accomplished at Calvary. Me giving that dime out of the dollar cannot overturn when he said it is finished. We got to get that straight. But that's another story. Okay. But they took it by force. Same chapter, go down to verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, on top of this, his sons were married. Don't this sound like the church today? So not just the greed that's pertaining to the offering, not just the intimidation and the violence and the force and the deception to get your money, to get God's offering, but at the same time, the priest that was married, we just read that they were laying with the women that came to the church. This goes to the heart of why we read that the word of the Lord was precious or rare in those days. Because what was going on inside of God's house was an abomination. The leaders had fallen. The leaders, they were still in place. They were still dressing good and looking good. They were still operating and function in their duties, but they were not doing what God told them to do. They did not have character. They did not have God's heart. We read where it actually said they did not know God. Hear me and hear me well. We are living in a generation in America where many of the leaders that stand in position do not know God. Because we have to recognize that we are in the last days, the last of the last days, and we are in an age of deception. Now, I want to go over some scriptures that tell us about deception that would come and deception that would be in God's house. Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Did you hear that? We're in an age of deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Let me say that again. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's only going to get worse. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See, there's a lot of people out here that's trying to use the word of God, but they're philosophizing. They're trying to sound intelligent. They want to talk about blackness in the Bible, or zooming in on a particular race or a particular culture, and they're trying to isolate scripture to separate you from the words of Jesus and make it about flesh. When the Bible says, know no man after the flesh, when the Bible says flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God, he's not looking at what color skin we have. He's not looking at what tribal race we come from. See, men look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. He sent his only begotten son to save men, not to save colors, not to save certain tribes. Are you there? He said, but beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. So they can show you stuff in scripture. If you don't know your word, there's people out there that can show you. There's some Jehovah Witnesses that can show you some stuff. See, there's some Mormons out there that can show you some stuff. There's some Black Hebrews or racist white supremacists or Muslims that will use your word because you're ignorant concerning the word of God and the things of God, and show you some philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We are in an age of deception. And hear me, you better know God for yourself. You better study to show yourself approved unto God. You better be willing to give your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. These are not the days to play games. These are not the days to be lukewarm. These are not the days to straddle the fence. These are not the days to be religious. These are not the days to be committed to your denomination. These are not the days to go to church just because your family went to church. These are the days you got to know God for yourself. Thank God for your pastor, but you can't go off his word. You got to go off the word that's revealed to you. Thank God for your mother, your father, or someone in your family that's telling you about the word of God, but you have to know God for yourself in your heart of hearts and your mind, soul, and spirit, and the core of your being. You got to know him for yourself, because we are in an age of deception. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. And he said, that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 24 through 26. He that hates dissembleth with his lips, and lays up deceit within him. When he speak fair, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Psalm 120, verse 2. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Psalm 101, verse 7. He that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Now, the definition of deception is the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. Synonyms to deception is fraud, cheating, trickery, duping, hoodwinking, deviousness, cunning, craft, guile, bluff, lying, treachery, swindle, imposter, fake, con, scam, Trojan horse, or ruse. This is actively involved in the church today. And I'm telling you, this is just a word of warning and clarity. Jesus said, "My sheep will hear my voice, and another they will not follow." You might be saying to yourself, "Well, I know I'm his sheep, so I can't be fooled." Okay, take that chance. You better get close to God, because see, it's not going to be revealed that you're really his sheep until the deception comes and you was not deceived. You can't just take that as a blanket statement and just sit back and don't do your due diligence, not be sold out, not know the word for yourself, not understand the age and times that we're in. You can't just take that and say, "Well, I'm his sheep, and so I can't be deceived." Well, there's millions that's going to be thinking that way and be deceived. They're being deceived right now. They're sitting in mega churches being deceived right now. They're sitting in small churches being deceived right now, because there's con men in every level of the kingdom. There's con men as leaders in a church with five people, and there's con men on TV with thousands following them. Because the enemy have infiltrated the church. I tell you all you this all the time. He know he cannot beat the church, so he joined the church. And he has in place or in titles of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, and bishops and elders. There are more witches, warlocks, sorcerers, conjurers, false prophets than you can shake a stick at. And it's getting worse. This is why I'm speaking this today. It is getting worse, because the signs aren't as obvious as they used to be. They talking just like a good preacher. They preaching and teaching just like a good preacher. Now hear me. Sometimes it even comes down to one out of the last 20 messages is off. See, they're not making it. The closer we get to the return of Christ, the deeper it's going to get. It's not as obvious as it used to be. You have to know the word of God for yourself. You have to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, so that even when you hear it and everyone else, the naked eye isn't picking up on there's something wrong with that leader. There's something wrong with that message. But because you have the Spirit of truth, he is the greatest lie detector, and something goes off when you hear him. And at that point, that suspect comes, and then you begin to look at it a little closer. And as you look at their words a little closer, then you begin to find out, oh, see, they was off right here and I didn't catch it. And they was off right here and I didn't catch it. Because one of the meanings of deception is to be cunning. You know, it's insidious. It's Machiavellian. It's hidden. You got to look. See, and it's the Holy Ghost. He is the one that reveals all truth. And one of the ways he reveals all truth is that you understand and you can sense and pick up the lie and the liar. So this is not the season where you're taking your pastor's word for it. This is not the season where you're taking the bishop's word for it. This is not the season where you, when the prophet prophesied, you just run with it. You better go get on your knees and say, Lord, it was this you? See, that's the season we living in, knowing God for yourself. Why? Because I'm telling you, the word of the Lord is rare these days. As much of it that's out there, it does not mean it's God's word. It does not mean it's the preceding word. It does not mean that he is speaking it. Just because it's a great quantity does not mean it is quality. The word of the Lord is rare. And in Samuel's day, there was a high priest. There were priests everywhere. There was a house of God. There was the offerings going forth, but it was an age of deception. They were backslidden. If you read the story, read from the second chapter forward in 1 Samuel, you will find that the head guy, Eli, the high priest, he knew what his sons were doing. And he came to him. And he, you know, had a little conversation. Hey, you guys, you know what you're doing not right. What he should have did was set them down, kicked them out of the house of God, rebuked them openly, called them what they were. But because they were his sons, he did not correct them. And this is happening in the body of Christ a lot today. Because it's being ran like a monarchy. You know, like if I start a church, only my sons can take over. I thought this was the body of Christ. I thought this was his church. Who said that your son take over because he is your son? This is God's house. It's not ran like a monarchy. It's ran based on faithfulness, anointing, and a person having the heart of God. That's who gets promoted. But he would not discipline and check his own sons, knowing that they were cheating on their wives, knowing that they were sleeping with other women, knowing that they were dishonoring the offering, knowing that they were sons of Belial and didn't even know God. And let me tell you how it ended. When war broke out, these same sons that didn't know God, that were sons of Belial, it was the priest's job. In times of war, when the Ark of the Covenant would go forth, usually they went before the army in declaration that God is going to fight for us. It was the priesthood that took the Ark, because they were on staves, and put it on their shoulders. They carried the presence. The Ark represented the presence of God. They carried the presence of God on their shoulders. And when they went out to war, his sons were some of the ones carrying the Ark. And because they touched God's presence with unclean hands. The enemy didn't kill them. God did. And when Eli heard that they had died in battle, the Bible says he fell backwards and broke his neck. He was sitting on the wall. Mm-hmm. And a broken neck represents the head being disconnected from the body. We are living in an age of deception where those that we call the head are actually disconnected. That'll preach. Those Eli's who supposed to be the head are experiencing falls and being disconnected because they were never connected. They never checked the other priests like they need to. And I don't want to name any names, but there's plenty big names out there. If you watch everybody under them, just like Eli and his sons, all of their spiritual sons, everybody under them stay in scandal. Lord have mercy. Everybody under them always caught in some treachery. That's coming today because they allowed it. They didn't discipline them. They didn't honor God and his word, that they're going to fall backwards and be disconnected too. It's the truth anyhow. Because with all the preaching and teaching that we see in here, with all the TV and radio and internet and social media that we see today, I'm telling you, the word of God is still precious, because what we're hearing is not God's authentic word. It's not his illumination and revelation. It's not his insight. It's not the preciousness of his word. His word is rare. We are living in an age of deception. They're doing what they want with God's word. They have introduced into the church the magic kingdom. Blab it and grab it. Name it and claim it. And prosperity, and get this, and expand your borders, and it's all about materialism. It's all about your name and your gift and your this. It's the focus is you. It's not him. See, the focus is accumulation of stuff, not the denial of this world. The focus is how much you can get, how much money you can make, how great your anointing is, and your gift and your this and your that. As I said before, the way that Adam and Eve knew that they had fallen was because they saw themselves. And the word we hear in a lot of these churches only reveal more of you. And if all you see is you, you're not seeing Christ. We are in an age of deception. You better start studying to show yourself approved unto God. You better get close to God as you can. Because just because they have the title bishop don't mean they know God. Just because he's a pastor don't mean he knows God. Just because she's a prophetess, and hear me, just because they're prophesying and it comes true or it is accurate does not mean they know God. Judge a tree by the fruit it bears. We're living in the greatest time of spiritual shamming and swindling and schemes that there is. There's a lot of funny business going on. Some stuff I see and I hear, I honestly can't even call it. I'm like, I don't even know about that right there. I have to get on my knees and say, Lord, sounds good, looks good. Is it really good? All too often, the Holy Ghost said no, because we are in an age of deception. The word you get, in order to be safe, you better get it on your own. Thank God for good leaders. But there's few of them out there today. God has a remnant. He has a portion. He has a tithe, if you would, that he have kept for himself that truly hears his voice. In Jesus' day, they had all these religious groups, the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. They had the Sanhedrin Council. They had all these different beautiful looking denominations, if you would. But the one who was hearing from God was the worst one, the worst looking one. He wore camel's hair. He lived out in the wilderness. He looked unkempt, half crazy. His name was John the Baptist. He was the voice crying in the wilderness. In Noah's day, the one is telling his whole generation, rain is going to come when they had never seen rain. Rain is going to come, and he's building a boat, and they thought he was nuts. He was the only one who heard from God. Man look at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Do not be deceived. It's time to get close to God. The word of the Lord today, even though there's much out there and it sounds good, it looks good and it feels good, but I'm telling you, it is rare. God's true word is rare today. Let's do what we need to do. Let's be diligent. Consecrate yourself. Get on your face before God. And let's get it right. For he would not have us to be ignorant, my brethren. He don't want us deceived. But we have to know what season we're in. And we have to suit up. We have to strap up. And the only safe place is on your face. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Ask him to speak to your heart. Ask him to show you all the imposters. Ask him to lead and guide you. God bless you.